your blood-bought gift. Today we claim.
Sanctify today.
Well, God of Elijah, hear our cry.
Had an absolutely fantastic time tonight. I mean, it was incredible. It was absolutely incredible. The response, the one thing that blew them away, I mean, virtually almost, I won't say all, but most, they never saw the second beast in Revelation 13. They all read over it and never saw the second beast. And when I showed it, it was like, wow. And then that the second beast was the false prophet. Wow. And then all the high tech connected to the second beast. And
wow.
The QR code went over very good. The high tech thing that we're heading towards, the ability out there to, for all the world to be identified is there now. So it went really, really, really good. I mean, I got probably the best response ever since I've been teaching there tonight.
That's awesome. We're glad to hear that.
Yeah. So I was really blessed. And Sister Kathy, hello, Sister Kathy.
Good evening. That is wonderful news.
Yeah, it was really, really good news.
And were the same, were there as many people as there was last time?
Yeah.
All right.
So it went really well, and they had potluck dinner tonight, and it was absolutely delicious. I mean,
All right. Oh,
they had pot roast that was and chicken. Oh my goodness, was it good? It was absolutely delicious. So the pastor was talking to me a while ago, and he said, you know, we're thinking of maybe stopping the dinner on Wednesday night. So I said to him, you better not. Because those dinners are the only reason I'm coming. He goes,
oh, that's funny.
Yeah. He goes, okay, like we'll have the dinners. He goes, we'll have the.
I like that.
But, and they have one woman in the church there that is a, I like to go to the restaurant, but she's a chef at a restaurant. In the area, and apparently it's a little high class one. I don't even know where it is. They told me, but I don't know where it is. Anyways, he usually cooks on Wednesday nights, and it's really, really, really good. Really good food that she produces. So sometime I want to go over to the restaurant. Me and Nancy will go over to the restaurant that she's a chef in.
Well, that sounds good. And that's good, get more people talking and more people want to hear about what you're doing. And
they did take a lot of the brochures. Now, I did teach last night, and I put things in order, and it went perfect tonight. And I spent a lot of time today finding the perfect pictures, which I found. So if you want, I mean, you got the basics of it from last night, but if you want to see the full, you know, full correct presentation, I can give it again. So
yes.
Think about it.
I'd like it.
Okay. All right. Well, let me say hello here to This looks like, is this Gigi and Randy? Hello? Gigi and Randy here?
Yes, we are here. Yes, that's nice that it went well. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, it really did go well. I mean, you don't know how many came up to me and said, I never saw the second beast. I never saw it in there. Yeah. So many of us, so many told me that. And then she's a pastor. Ruth is a pastor. And she's sitting like right in front of me on the first row. And when she saw the connection between the second beast and the false prophet, I mean, she actually said, wow, I never saw that before. Wow, this is amazing how everything's coming together. She said, this is, and I'm teaching and she's yelling. So, I mean, it was a big night tonight. It really went over good there.
But I was just going to ask you, John, because, I mean, I didn't know until I was studying this before, but it's the false trinity.
Yes.
So it has to be three.
Yes.
Because it's the false trinity.
Yes, it is.
Oh, I'm glad they got it.
Yes, they did get that also. Yes. And then we have Rita here. Hello, Sister Rita.
Oh. Hello, Chaplain John. And I'm so glad to hear that it went so well for you tonight. But glad to have you back. So anyway.
You're kind of breaking up. Yeah, I can't hear you. You're not clear.
Okay. I just said that I am so glad to hear that it went so well for you tonight. And
yes.
And glad to have you back.
Thank you. And remember, last night was my trial run. And I was able to clean up some little, I don't know, they're not errors, but I cleaned it up a little. And then I looked for better pictures and I found them. And then I went in to, I have a spot where I have all these articles about the QR code. And I went through the articles and then I took the best articles and I posted them so the people could see what I'm talking about. So it was perfect. There was nothing more that I could add to it, really. It was just absolutely perfect. So, but the trial run was last night.
That's awesome.
And then we have Sister Eve here. Hello, Sister Eve.
Hello. Did anyone from the seminary come?
Not that I know of.
Oh.
Were you expecting someone to come?
I just like it when they come and they say, you know, you're teaching the truth, you know, they agree with you.
Yeah. Well, he's not a pastor of this church. He's kind of like a retired pastor now, Philip, and he has a degree in Greek from, Dallas Theological Seminary. So he follows me and he usually adds to, like enhance what I'm saying. So he did that tonight. Actually, it was in Hebrew. He added something that was really it enhanced what I was saying. So I thanked him for it.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, so he comes, Pastor Philip. Okay. And I got everybody open here. Is there, you want to say anything? And then we'll go over and we'll look at Luke 4:18.
Hey, Chaplain.
Yes.
Did you see where that black congressman from Houston is introducing articles of impeachment for President Trump?
Yes.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. There's no way to stop them, so they're desperate. They don't like his agenda, so because they don't like his agenda, they want to impeach him.
But they can't, right? Because the Republicans control the House and Senate.
Right. They can't. No, they can't. But here's the thing. The Constitution says you can only impeach the president for what's called high crimes and misdemeanors. So they don't like his agenda. So they have no legal constitutional right to do it, but they can't stop him. So they're losing their minds. Now they've already, well, his first term, they already did it twice. Now he's only 2 weeks in office or 3 weeks, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Now, and they're trying to get, they're hollering they want to do it again.
They're insane. It's all over that USAID and,
yes,
you know.
Yes.
They want that slush fund.
Yes. Yes. And he pulled the plug on it.
Yes,
and they can't do anything about it because it was created by an executive order. So he can end it by an executive order. If Congress
exactly
was to create an agency, the president cannot do away with it. Only Congress can. So they're stuck. They're stuck. And wow, what a source of corruption. I never even heard of it, USAID. I never heard of it. And what a hidden, under the radar source of corruption that is.
Oh,
you know, and trying to pay for people to become atheists.
Yeah, and they were paying for groups all over the world, like lesbians in Laos, and
yeah.
DEI in Ghana, and all of these wicked, wicked. I mean, the United States was corrupting the world. I hear a cat.
That's Rita's girl.
Oh, what's the cat's name?
Or boy.
Okay. So.
Well, thank you, Chaplain. I just thought I'd mention that.
Yeah,
it's nothing
Charles,
to worry about, right?
No.
It's not
nothing.
My cat.
Then it must be Sharon. Beta must be up there with her.
I don't know. But anyways, here's the thing. I had no idea the magnitude of how America was corrupting the world. I had no idea. I mean, in a real sense, we were Babylon with the corruption we were spreading all over the world. And then all of a sudden, in one day, the Lord chopped the whole thing off. And he's got us back to, like, we can be a blessing now. We can be a blessing through Israel and protecting and standing and with the everlasting covenant there. And we're not, we can help maybe throughout the world if there's disasters, we can help them. But no more promoting this under the radar, but it's homosexuality and lesbianism and DEI. And it was a whole bunch of putrid stuff that they were doing. Absolutely putrid.
Don?
Yes.
I just want to say, Randy and I have experience with them. I actually quit a job when we were in Laos because it was a Christian NGO and they were going to bring in USAID. The thing is, it has nothing to do with aid. They don't respond to disasters. They don't do any of that. They don't do it. And even Randy, he worked on a project with USAID. But it's not what people think.
2 weeks.
Yeah, just
not
2 weeks.
Years.
No, no, he just did 2 weeks. But the whole point is every single thing that we ever saw overseas with them involved, they never did anything. They sent people in, they paid them to do surveys and research and write papers, and then they did zero.
Well,
so
apparently
we know.
It got
and
worse. It got worse from when you were there because now they're into DEI and lesbianism and homosexuality and transgenderism and all of this stuff. So the Lord cut it off.
They actually precipitated overthrowing 140 countries. And when we were in Laos, one of the things we knew was to stay away from those people because the Lao government, the people that we knew, they all knew they were CIA, all of them, every single person, which is why we had to stay away from that. and we knew that they were corrupt.
John?
Yes,
John?
Yes, Randy.
I worked on a USAID project in the Caribbean for 2 weeks, and afterwards it took them 6 months to pay me.
Well, anyway, but it didn't do anything. I mean, this is what they're, it's a slush fund. So what they were doing is they were hiring like subcontractors, paying the subcontractors, but they weren't doing anything. They never did anything except for overthrow governments. And that's so they would set them up. They did that in Ukraine. They were part of the overthrow.
Well, they did that here in 2020 with Trump's second election. They used their expertise from overseas to do it here. So let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you've got rid of this putrid. I don't even know the words to put on it, Lord. It's just putrid is the word, like the only word I can think of. Lord, I was sad to see how we were being used, our nation. And not only that, Lord, they were trying to destroy us at the same time. They hate America. They were just using America. Lord, thank you for President Trump. Thank you for him destroying this agency, Lord. Absolutely destroying it. And all the wickedness is stopping now. Lord, not only that, I think it was the New York Times was getting millions of dollars a year from this agency and some other groups, Politico. They were all, no wonder they were so vicious against Trump and us, Lord. They were nothing but an arm of the Democrat Party. So Lord, and then they were funding, they were using it as a slush fund to fund these labs in like Ukraine, these COVID-19 labs and all gain of function. This thing is so wicked, Lord. And I pray that maybe people will go to jail for this, Lord. If at all possible, if they can link this to maybe bribery and things like that, that they would go to jail for this. And never to see anything like this again, Lord, never. And the Democrats, Lord, are screaming and hollering over this. This was their big pork barrel, and they could use this to do this evil, not only in America, Lord, the Democrats, but across the world. Lord, thank you. Thank you. We can't thank you enough, Lord. And I'm asking for every dollar in America, Lord, that's used for evil will be cut off, Lord. Not $1 going anywhere in the world for America for evil, Lord. Not one. And here in America, anything like this happening, Lord, like under the radar, all of it, Lord, would be cut out. Not $1 within America and without America going to evil. Thank you so much for doing this, Lord. This is like the second inauguration, the excitement, like, Lord, of this manifesting and then seeing it and cutting it off, Lord. Amazing, amazing. And then seeing them hollering and screaming, Lord. Oh, my. So thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Continue to use President Trump as your instrument of righteousness, Lord. Just cutting out this evil, Lord. I'm asking for your protection around him, Lord. And continue for him to be a great blessing to Israel, Lord. And Lord, setting up maybe the atmosphere here for a great revival, Lord, that they would have, the Democrats would have done everything to try and destroy us if they got in power. But you did just the opposite. You stripped them of all their power, Lord. So thank you for that. And now let's advance your agenda, Lord, without any hindrance. And under that agenda, a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Lord. We praise you and thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. All right, I wanted to touch a little on the word here. And Luke 4:18, the ministry of Jesus Christ. And in Pakistan, sometime this month, later in the month, I'm going to be speaking to about 700 pastors in Islamabad, which is the capital of Pakistan. They're going to rent a movie theater, and they want me to speak on the ministry of Jesus Christ, which is Luke 4:18, and the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So I want to touch now upon the ministry of Jesus Christ, because I have changed it a little. I guess you could say added an emphasis. So let's look at the ministry itself. Part one, Christ died for sin, died for our sin. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. The gospel is the life, it's the his ministry. The gospel is what Jesus Christ came to do, to redeem us. Now, I'm not sure, I've added stuff here. Let me see if I've added the gospel yet. Yeah, here it is, right here. There's one gospel, but two parts to it. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. This here, this section of scriptures, literally explains the gospel in simple terms. So 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried. So dying for our sins, immediately, like Isaiah 53 comes to mind. I mean, I can't think of a clearer chapter in the Bible. I mean, that the whole chapter is about the Lord dying for our sins. So that's the first part. And he was buried. And then we go to part two, that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So the gospel is he died for our sins according to the scriptures, and then he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So there's one gospel and one gospel only, and that it's pretty clear, folks. The thing that I want to emphasize is the fact that he rose again third day according to the scriptures. Well, let me go back here now to Luke 4:18. So we'll look at the second part now of the Lord's ministry in Luke 4:18. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. So second part is he bodily rose from the dead. So in that second part, it says he sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, crushed, oppressed of the devil. And then the last part is to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. So the acceptable year of the Lord is really right. It's right now. Right now, we're under the acceptable year of the Lord. The Lord, the year of the Lord's vengeance is his second coming. But right now, since he rose from the dead, we are under the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, the year of the Lord is just a epoch of time. It's not 365 days. It's an epoch of time. So it says he bodily rose from the dead with power, with great power. So let's go back and look at Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Okay. So Romans, starting at verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Now, there's a literalness here, folks. We were baptized into his death. verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. Why? Because he was raised from the dead. That's the reason why. We should also walk in newness of life. Like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. So that same power that raised up Christ from the dead, even so, we should also walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also, look at this, in the likeness of his resurrection. So he was raised in power. Sin had no hold on him, no hold whatsoever. And that's what the Bible is saying about us. Now, in the Greek, likeness is a form, abstractly resemblance. So it's made like to, and it's translated made like to, likeness, shape, similitude. So as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we should also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Now, it may take time, folks. You know, there's a growth period and God reveals stuff to us, and then maybe 2 years later he reveals some more to us that we need to be walking in the newness of life in his resurrection. But nonetheless, there should be God's resurrection power should be flowing through us. But that's the gospel. That's not something extra. That's not something added on. That is the first part of the gospel. He died for our sins, according to the scripture. And that is that he remitted sin. The first part of the gospel is he remitted our sin. And that remit means to do away with the penalty. So, like, let's say someone owed a whole load of money to the government for parking tickets and speeding tickets and thousands of dollars, and you couldn't pay it. So you go into Caesar and you beg for mercy, and Caesar says, okay, we're going to do away with that penalty. We're going to remit it. You know, it's more like a legal term than normally you would use. So we're going to remit it. Let's do away with it. Do away with it. It's really interesting. This may have nothing to do with this. Well, maybe it does. But I was reading one day, like after World War II, we had this huge army. I mean, it was all sorts of divisions. But we didn't need it anymore. Well, at least we didn't think we did. But, you know, Russia got nasty pretty soon. So you would read, like, the 100th Division, the 105 Division, the 110 Division. And it said, like, the 100th Division was remitted on, November 1st, 1945. The war was over in Europe on May of 1945. And then the 105th Division was remitted on December 1st. And I said, remitted? So I looked it up, and it means that they did away with it. They didn't need that army anymore, so they remit. Now, it does sound odd, but that was a precise term, and it was like a legal term. They did away with that division. They disbanded it. So that's what God did with our sin through Jesus Christ. He remitted it, and you'll see that in Luke 24:27. And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in my name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So because of what Christ did on the cross, it's like the penalty's been paid by him. So there's no penalty. It's done away with. And that way we can have fellowship with God. We're not criminals anymore. we're not trying to stand in our own righteousness, that I'm a good guy and I'm a nice guy and all this stuff, which the nicest we are is nowhere near the perfection of Jesus Christ. I mean, he's our standard to set up and look at. And the only way we could get to heaven by ourselves is not to have committed one sin like Jesus Christ did. And of course, no one can do that. So the power, as Christ was resurrected by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the glory of the Father, so we are also resurrected by the power of the gospel here, and the resurrection by the Spirit and by the Father. And that's why it says we should walk in newness of life, because that resurrection power, at the time we come to Christ, should be flowing in us and through us. And of course, I shared this many times. That did not happen to me in a major sense. The broken heart was never dealt with when I came to Christ. And it was only about exactly 30 years later, 2004, right around there. And when God applied the resurrection power to me, and I didn't even know at that point it was the resurrection power, I was just asking him to heal my broken heart. And he did. And I felt it. I literally felt him healing my broken heart. And the number one thing that came off me was loneliness. That was the number one thing. That was the big bondage in me, was loneliness. And I'm very happy that this salvation part of the gospel was preached to me the night I came to the Lord. I believe that the man that preached the best he could, the best he knew how. So I'm not adding things. It almost sounds like I'm adding something, but I'm not. The gospel is he died for our sins according to the scripture, and he rose again the third day in power according to the scripture. That's the gospel, and that's so in preaching. And I changed that. I realized that when I started to preach in Pakistan. So I preached Christ died for our sins. That's the first part of Luke 4:18, and then that he rose from the dead in the second part, the healing the brokenhearted. Although I was praying, I saw healing the brokenhearted was there, so I just started to pray that for people. And later on, I fine-tuned it to be the second part. So when I minister to people, it's the first part is for sin, remission of sin, what Christ did. Then the second part is praying over them, just like the Lord's ministry here. Let's take a look at his ministry. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. So I pray over everyone that their heart will be healed. Now I identify it by the resurrection power. I preach deliverance, strongholds in the mind. I preach that same to the people. To preach liberty, to set at liberty them that are bruised. And that's being oppressed of the devil. So I minister to them with that. And I do other things too. I pray for curses, the coming out of Hinduism, the coming out of Islam, the coming out of paganism. So I pray to break curses, pray for them to be water baptized as a disciple. And I also pray for a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit on them. They're believers then. You don't have to wait. So the main part though, is praying for the healing of their broken hearts, praying for deliverance from strongholds, and to set them at liberty from being oppressed of the devil. And I believe when we do that, great things are going to happen, because people are free from their penalty of sin. Now there's power in them, and they're not going to be in bondage to depression and anxiety, fear and condemnation and rejection. suicidal thoughts, homosexuality, all that comes under the resurrection power to be set free from. That's walking in the newness of life. So I pray in this coming revival, this outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that people's hearts would be healed in mass. Both people that also believe now, but the new people coming into the Lord, they're going to come in with great power. They're going to be strongholds in the mind are going to be broken and set free, and that everyone is going to be free from being oppressed of the devil. Everyone. So that's the new approach that I have, and it's what I'm going to do is start off more with the gospel. Go back here. Here it is. So what I'll do really from now on is the gospel is 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. I'll go over that and then go into that the gospel is in two parts, dying for our sins and being raised from the dead. It's all one event, but just it's dying and raising, you know. It's a continuation, but he dies according to the scriptures and he's raised according to the scriptures. That's the gospel. So we should be preaching both. And then Romans chapter 6 there, and then Luke 4:18. So Luke 4:18 captures both the first part, the Lord dying for our sins according to the scriptures, and the second part, he sent me to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, and to set at liberty them that are crushed. And great things are going to happen. So Jamil has come on, like during the morning, during prayer time, Pastor Jamil from Pakistan, and this preaching Luke 4:18 has had significant impacts on certain areas in Pakistan with the church. So they want me at the end of the month to preach the Lord's ministry. That's Luke 4:18. And then they also want me to preach on the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So there's going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of 700 pastors there. It was actually going to be more, but because of finances, we had to cut it down to 700. And it's exciting for us. Because if we get the pastors in Pakistan, if the Lord is getting to them to preach the ministry of Jesus Christ, great things are going to happen. Great things. Incredible things are going to be happening. And then later in March, there's 200 imams and, I guess, assistant imams. And I don't know what they're called. They also want to hear the ministry of Jesus Christ, because great things are happening in the lives of the people coming to Christ, and many of them are Muslims. They're going back to the imams, and they're telling him, I was in terrible bondage, and I'm free through Jesus Christ, and I have assurance of eternal life, and Jesus died for my sins, and I was healed of this, or I was healed of that, or my father was healed, my mother was healed. They're telling the imams. So the imams, we're trying to schedule a meeting now for 200 of them. It's in a different area. I don't know where it is, but I know it's not near Islamabad. It's in some other area of Pakistan. So that the gospel, it's Luke 4:18 that has reached the imams. The resurrection part is part of it, that they're hearing all these testimonies through the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. So they want to meet with me. And the same thing, it's the same thing Jamil told me. They want to hear the ministry of Jesus Christ. Exciting thing. When you preach Luke 4:18, great, great things happen, because that's his ministry. And Christians, when they come to Christ under Luke 4:18, can come very, very strong, free in him. And I know people that have come to the Lord with really not, I'm going to say, the healing the brokenhearted ministered to there. One guy in particular, I still remember him. He came with great power, folks, too. I mean, God is sovereign, and he can do whatever he wants. But to the majority of the people, they have to hear he came to heal the brokenhearted, to preach the gospel, to preach deliverance to those that are in bondage, and to set at liberty them that are being oppressed of the devil. That must be preached to them. So this is exciting, and it's starting to see a lot of real fruit, in particularly Pakistan. Okay, let me go over here, and we will look at the ministry of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind. He set at liberty them that are bruised or crushed or oppressed of the devil, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Okay, that's the ministry of the Lord. It's right there, very clear for all of us to see. And I pray that every pastor would be preaching Luke 4:18 and ministering in the church, with especially to believers, the second part. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are crushed. Well, if there's any questions or comments, let me go back over to Uber Conference. And okay, I'm back in Uber Conference. So any questions or comments? Well, Paula Jean.
You wake up.
Paula,
ready.
Did I put everybody to sleep?
No.
Paula Jean, any comments?
No, not me.
All right.
And probably just having trouble with their equipment. Is that right, Paula Jean?
Just a minute. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I was talking, and I guess I was muted or something. I immediately, pretty close to your asking the question. I'm just so grateful that Heavenly Father is anointing the words when they go out.
Amen.
Supplementing them with, the brochures. But when the words go out, they're being heard and they're being received and believed. And it's what the Holy Spirit does in their hearts and in their bodies and in their minds. And he's seriously, he's called you to equip them, which is what you'll be doing. And I just say, thank you, Father, because we know based on what's been happening that you are with this.
Yes.
And that you are going to be bringing those who are hungry to serve you what they need in order to be equipped to do so. You're bringing them not only the word, which is awesome, powerful. It's basically what you have given us to help us know you better. But it's also that you are revealing through action, your action in their lives, the truth of the word that they're hearing. And I am just so grateful and thrilled to be able to continue to pray for this to be multiplied. And as Chaplain John prays, that it will go out into the communities, into the families across the area, Father God, and more of those who have been walking in the darkness, but thinking they've been doing right. They're having the light shone into the darkness, and they're receiving the truth. and they are excited about your truth, Father, the one and only truth from the one and only God, the Almighty Father, who has given each and every one of us the life that we have been blessed to have. And it's just thrilling. And I pray your protection over everyone that holds on to your word and continues to draw closer to you, Father, and to reach out to share with others with testimony and your truth. I just pray your continued blessings and protection and guidance and whatever they need for all of those who are saying yes to you and your Son and to the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. Now I want you to listen to this scripture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1.
Okay.
It says here, verse 5, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance." So, but notice it says, it came not only to you in word, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. So I'm looking at that, and isn't it, when it says also in power, wouldn't that be the resurrection power of Jesus Christ? And in the Holy Ghost, which is, you know, the source of the power. So it wasn't in just word. It was having a huge impact on the people that was coming under the gospel because of the power that was coming out. So that power would be victory over bondage. These were pagans, and they were worshiping devils and all. So I'm sure a lot of them needed to be delivered of the devils, the demons that were in them, the bondage that they were in. But also, it came not to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. And of course, we know the power of the Church of Thessalonica, as from that church, what was sort of in the northeast section of modern Greece, it touched all of Greece, as it was described in 1 Thessalonians, and then it went north into today, which would be Albania and Macedonia and Bulgaria. And even it would go over into Turkey and beyond. It doesn't say how far and how limited it was going. That church was working north. But definitely today, when you look at where Thessalonica is, and you'll see how close Bulgaria is, and Macedonia is, and Albania is. So that little church on the seacoast church affected today all of Greece. And this is like off the bat, that such power was being released there through the Apostle Paul. So today, if you were to look on a map, you'd see all of Greece, Albania, Macedonia, and Bulgaria all touched by that church.
By that church.
Because the gospel.
Because the gospel.
We got feedback.
We got feedback.
Yeah, testing, 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. The gospel was not preached in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. So these people inside, they were getting assurance from what Paul was preaching, an assurance of eternal life, assurance that their sins were being forgiven. And then they were being freed of all the bondage from the idols. And who knows, whatever else they were doing with the idols, you know, all sorts of pagan rituals and all of that. And then we go down to verse 8. "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only to Macedonia and Achaia," that is modern Greece, "but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad." So we need not speak anything, but they themselves show of us what manner, that's the people in the church, show what manner of entering we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. You turned. What manner? There was real repentance. Manner of entering into you, unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So that little church was hit with such power that it actually, in the first century, shook Greece and those other nations. What entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols, repentance, to serve the living and true God. Exciting, folks. So the gospel was preached to the Thessalonians, not in word only, but that word came with power and in the Holy Ghost with much assurance. Amen. Amen. So that's what we want. That's what we want today. Power, the word in power and in the Holy Ghost. All right, Sharon, you're up.
Okay. I would say thank you to Father God for tonight. For today, for everything that Chaplain John has done today, he's been a very, very busy man all day, and he doesn't seem like he's worn down yet. Everything, and I just pray that he's able to get some good sleep tonight and enjoy what he talked about and did today. Will be very, very enjoyable tomorrow, you know, when we're having our meetings and stuff and praying. So, dear Father, I just pray that all continues to go well, and that all everybody continues to come to the prayer meetings and to bring other people with them and stuff. And it was so nice to see Jamil today. It's been so long since we've seen him and Pastor Zephaniah and stuff. And I'm just glad that they seem okay, you know. So I just was really, really pleased to see that. And I just want to pray that everybody continues in their praying and praying for other people and finding out what people need prayer for and stuff. It's just so, so important. And praying about the brokenhearted too in Luke 4:18 is so, so important. I remember that that was one of Chaplain Don's first lines I heard him speak, was that he had the Luke 4:18 ministry. Of course, it took me a little bit to understand what that was, but it's just a very, very, very powerful ministry, and people need to get out into the world and use those words, use some other words, and just get people to want to come and hear and see what's going on. And earlier today, just Father, one of our people in the group, we talked about maybe getting Chaplain to show Ani and talk about Ani and stuff. And so I've done my part to suggest it. So maybe Chaplain John will, when he gets tired and stuff, or he'll can talk about Ani and stuff. And so the people who haven't seen Ani, what we're talking about. So, dear Father, I just thank you so much again for tonight and today and for everything that we have heard and stuff. And I just thank you for us all being able to be together and stuff, and just to pray together. And I pray for Gigi and Randy and everybody else that needs prayer and stuff. And I just thank you, dear Father God, and in your name I do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, now we have Where did Sister Rita go? She disappeared. Okay, Gigi and Randy, you're up.
Yes, and I'm sorry, were you going to tell me what you'd like me to pray for, or are we praying for something specific?
Well, now let's see. It was so good. The prayers were so good tonight. Answered tonight. I don't know what to pray. I don't know what the, my mind's completely blank. I have more to do. Just pray for my study and reading and writing in general, because I have more to do. Okay, I have like several things to do, and I need like to do them in an order. So if you would do that, pray for that, please.
Okay, and then have you heard anything from Pastor Zephaniah?
Well, I tell you, I did not understand what happened. And Sister Sharon was there this morning, and Sister Kathy was there, and they heard it also. Here's what happened. Brother John, Evangelist John, was at the meeting.
Yeah.
I didn't know he was at the meeting. And
yeah, I told him there.
Yeah, for some reason I didn't pick that up. And anyways, they came to the meeting to arrest him, and that's what they did. They took him from the meeting, and he disappeared. So there's been no word of him since. Now, I thought that he had been in Mombasa, and that's where they took him. So I think it's a little bit better the way I heard it today, because I don't think that they'll murder him, taking him like that in front of everybody. They're maybe trying to detoxify him from the gospel. So I think it's better that he didn't just disappear. He was there, and there was 20, 30, I don't know, a bunch of people that saw it happen and all. So I think if they went to kill him, they would have done it on the spot. You know?
Yeah. Okay, well, we're going to keep praying for him because, I've been really concerned about him and his family and Zephaniah and all of that. That's very frightening for everyone. But do you know who arrested him?
Yeah, the Muslims from Makuru Kayaba.
Are they police? They can just...
No. Arrest is the wrong word. They came and kidnapped him.
Chaplain John, they came and pretended to be police, but they weren't in the police uniforms.
No, they weren't in police uniforms. So they kidnapped him.
Okay, so they did kidnap him. He didn't just disappear.
Yes.
So, okay, and there were a lot of people that saw it. That's good. Okay. Let me just see. We've been praying for him a couple times every day. We've been very concerned about him. Yeah. And because he's been a very bold witness, and I know they had to hide his family for a while. And so, yeah, it's been tough for him. Okay, let me get myself together here. First of all, Lord, we just want to give you thanks and praise and glory.
Okay.
And whatever we do, Lord, we need to do it for your glory.
Okay.
And I'm sorry, there's somebody that needs to mute themselves.
I don't know who it is, but everybody muting them now.
Yeah, but okay.
Okay.
Because I can't concentrate.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Lord, we are looking to you, because we want to glorify your name. That's the point of your coming. It wasn't just salvation. It was to glorify your name in the whole earth and to put everything in a place and in a form that would bring glory to you and bring your creation into relationship with you. And so we know that sin is evil, And it's also sin separates us from you. And it separates the whole world from you. But because of Jesus, you have made a way for us to be reconciled back to you. And that you called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. And you called us for a specific purpose so that we might have a relationship with you as our Abba Father and as our Savior. And so we are so grateful. What a privilege it is to have you call us to yourself. So we are, I know each and every one of us is grateful for the salvation that you gave us. It cost you everything and cost us nothing. And we thank you that you took our place on Calvary. And we thank you that you are not a dead Savior. You are a risen Savior. And you were resurrected. And now you are with God the Father. You are seated at the right hand of his Father, of your Father. And in your word, it says no one comes to the Father. Actually, you said this. No one comes to the Father except through me. And we thank you that you actually have made a way where there was no way. And so we want to lift you up. We want to praise your name. We want to hold you up on high. We want to be grateful people. We want to do what you have called us to do. And we are asking you for continued mercy and deliverance for Pastor John, and that you would protect his family and the church and all the people that saw what happened. And somehow, some way, Lord, we prayed that he would be released. He would be not harmed and be released. And in fact, those people that took him, they would come to know you. So instead of them unbrainwashing him, you would wash their brains so that they can see who the true Savior is, the Savior of the world. They can see who Jesus Christ really is. And so we just pray for deliverance and protection and a covering and a hedge of protection around Pastor John and his family and the church there. And we pray for favor, and that somehow, some way, you would provide a way for him to be set free. You set him free. You set him free. But now we would like to see him physically set free from this bondage that they have been trying to do to him and with him. And so we just thank you in advance. We thank you in advance, Lord, and all of those materials that they stole, we pray that they, instead of them burning them or doing something like that, people would get saved from them. They would somehow get distributed. And that what the enemy means for evil in this situation would turn out to be for good and for your glory. And so we just want to thank you and praise you and bless your name that you have given John a teaching ministry, and that he's been faithful to follow what you've been telling him to do year after year. And we are praying that you would continue to give him great clarity of mind, and that he would be able to divide the scriptures the way that you instruct him to, and that he would do it in such a way that, to continue to do it in such a way that makes it easy for all of us to understand, and not only just to understand, but to remember it and to be able to share that with other people. So I just want to pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit where John is and where we all are. And I want to pray over each and every person that we would experience and be under this resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And that there would be a revival across our country and across other countries, Lord. And we thank you. We thank you that these things that have been in the darkness for a long time, that not very many people knew about, but you are making them come into the light. And we're asking, Lord, that you would make a way that all of these things that have been in darkness, not only would they come into the light, but that they would be overcome. They would be, that this darkness would be overcome and crushed in every nook and cranny, every person, every organization, every office, every single communication. And we are praying for protection over all of the people that have come into service for our country under Trump. And we pray total protection on everyone. And I want to pray for these five, they're geniuses that are working for Elon Musk in the Doge. And they published their pictures, who knows who they were, and called for death contracts on these people. So we pray that you would block every evil thing, Lord, and you would protect those young men, and you would protect Elon Musk and all the other people working for good. There are people in our government that are trying to do the right thing, but haven't been able to. They've been blocked. So we just pray that all these people would be confirmed and that they would hit the ground running, just like what their boss is doing. And he couldn't be doing this without you. There's no possible way. And he couldn't be doing this without a whole cadre of people that have been preparing for this. And this is you, Lord. We know it's you. And even though we know that evil is coming, there would be a reprieve here and that there would be restoration. There have been so many people hurt and damaged and ripped off by all the evil that's been going on. And Lord, we repent because it's our tax dollars. It's our tax dollars. And we have paid for that. Even though we didn't know some of these things, we repent for that.
Oh, yes. We amen. Amen to that.
And we just continue to repent for all of the evil that our country has perpetuated across the planet. They've harmed people. They've jailed people. They've killed people. They have injured them. They sprayed Agent Orange and dropped bombs all over Indochina and other places, Nicaragua, all of those places, Lord. And so we're praying that somehow, some way, you would repair all of this. You would restore these people. They have taken away the future from so many people in so many countries and done nothing but evil. And only you can crush that. Only you are able to do that. So we thank you for the people that are dedicated to that. And we pray protection, a hedge of protection. And we just want to thank you, Lord, that we have the opportunity to pray, to repent, to love you, to honor you, and to do, even if it's something small, like, well, praying isn't such a small thing, but even if it's just small, that we could do it and that we would be faithful to do whatever you have called us to. And thank you for the good example in John, that he's been faithful in all the things that you've called him to. And so we just want to thank you and praise you. And I pray healing over Sharon and over Charles and over Randy and me and over anyone else in our group that needs healing, whether it be physical healing, emotional healing, our spirit, soul, body, mind, and heart healing over each and every one of us. Encourage us, Lord. Sometimes it's a big burden every day, but we just pray you would encourage us, that we would get up in the morning and look forward to what you're going to do with our day. So we just thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. We have Brother Charles here. Brother Charles.
Yes, sir. Excuse me. I'll go quickly, Kevin. Lord, please be with President Trump. Please keep him doing your will and standing strong, and please give him a backbone of steel, and please help this impeachment junk not to go anywhere. And please let things just, the USA, things like that, just go away, Lord. Please help them to get rid of all that stuff, all that junk. And we just thank you that President Trump was elected, Lord. And I thank you for Chaplain John and everybody on this line. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, Sister Kathy.
Well, I'll pass since it's, I'm very, very sleepy and it's 11, so I'll just say them as I go to slumberland. So love y'all. See you tomorrow.
All right. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then Sister Rita. Hello, Sister Rita.
Hello, Chaplain John.
Yeah. Please just keep it the prayer to about 3 minutes or so because we're running late. But I want you to be able to.
Okay, I will. I will. Okay, Father, I give you thanks for this day that you've given to me. And I give you thanks, Father, again, for all that you have given to me. You have blessed me, Father. And I thank you, Father, that you sent your Son to die for me, a sinner, that I may be free from sin. I give you thanks for this, Father. Father, I pray that you'd heal Sharon. I pray that you would strengthen her legs, strengthen her heart, and encourage her heart, Father, and that she'll love you more and your Son each passing day, Father. And I also pray that you would heal Gigi and Randy, and that these treatments that they take, Father, will be a blessing to the body, that through these treatments, you would heal their bodies, Father, and also encourage their hearts, Father, and strengthen their hearts. And I pray for Charles, Father, that you will heal his the cold that he, the flu that he has caught, and that you would also encourage his heart, Father, and strengthen him. And Father, I pray for Chaplain John, that you would bless him and his ministry, Father, and that many souls will come to the saving knowledge of hearing him teach or reading what he has written. And I also pray for, I also give you thanks, Father, how you have been healing Nancy. And I continue, Father, I ask that you will continue to heal Nancy. Bless both Chaplain John and Nancy, Father.
Amen.
Strengthen them, encourage their hearts, and bless their finances, Father. And Father, I ask that you would bless everyone that is online tonight, that you would strengthen us and encourage us, Father, and that if anyone has a broken heart, Father, that you would heal our broken heart. So I pray all this in the glorious and holy name of my Lord, my Savior, and my God, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Wonderful night tonight. Big day for me. Prayer this morning, and then spent a lot of time in the Word, and then preaching, and then teaching. So it's a big day, a full day. Sister Rita, would you call that a full day?
Oh, yeah, the blessed full day.
Yes. Sister Gigi, did I have a full day today in the Lord?
Amen.
Yeah, I'm happy. I want every day to be like this. So,
amen.
All right. God bless everybody now. And remember, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So, Lord willing, we'll see you tomorrow.
Oh, God of burning, cleansing flame.
blood-bought gift